Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, hour number two, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. A lot of football in hour number one. Coming up later this hour, I put together a little bit of a list of, I think, what were the biggest moments, sports moments this year. So we'll have some fun with that later in the hour. Next hour, we will do the top Boomer and Geo moments of the day from 2024. And more on the football as we go throughout and take it to 10 o'clock. But I did think only fair and fitting. You know it's only December 31st. I know it's not the NBA playoffs. I know that the NFL is king right now, and the Juan Soto story, you know, basically captured New York for weeks and weeks until he made a decision.
It ruined my life.
It ruined your wife?
My life.
Oh, your life?
No, it did.
Juan Soto?
Being drastic.
Juan Soto.
Dramatic Yankee fan.
Well, they've done fine. They're okay. So there's been a lot going on, and I don't even want to say they've been flying under the radar, because that's not even fair to them either. But not enough attention is being given to the Knicks. Now, I know it's about winning championships, but I will always tell you, if you don't enjoy these games as they're happening in the season, as it's happening, why even bother watching? They are, and not a great schedule in December, but they took advantage of it. They did what they were supposed to do. You look up all of a sudden, and the Knicks got out to not the best of starts. They're 23-10.
Yeah.
They're right on the Celtics' heels. If not for the Cavaliers playing stupid basketball, you could make the case that the Knicks would be challenging for the top spot in the conference as we sit here and turn the calendar to 2025. And what, for me, when I watch them, what's impressive about them is it's not one guy. It's not all about defense anymore, because that's what I thought it was last year. The balance that they have struck on this team, from Brunson, who can go for 10 points and give you 15 assists and you get 40 points from Karl Anthony Towns, or I don't know, the other night they need offense and Brunson goes for 55.
Gave him a double nickel.
Josh Hart last night, the triple-double. You've had big contributions from a guy like Deuce McBride this season. They are just, and we know this, but they are really good. And last night's win, expected, but a tight game at the half, and they kind of, you know, blow right past Washington in the second half like we thought they would. But 23-10.
Yeah, I mean, to finish the month of December 12-2 is indicative to a team that's just flat out playing and they like each other. I think the people on there, chemistry matters, man, especially when you got to go on the road and play tough teams. But I think you hit it right on the head. The fact that last year it seemed like we had to live and die with defense and Jalen Brunson, that's not the case this year. And the fact that he can go give you, you know, 55 points, and then last night I think he had 18 for something. Mm-hmm. So it just shows you that, you know, I think it just takes the ease off him, right? There was a lot of talks about him being an MVP, but not, even part of being an MVP is not just about what you're capable of, how much your team can back you up if you have an off night. And they, between Big Cat, I think he had 32, between Josh Hart, they're rebounding really well. They're still getting defense out of them. They're running the floor. And I don't know when this became a thing, and maybe you know, but we normally say, like, you know, players, they play both ends of the floor. Like, that's your job. You got to score. You got to defend. These guys do it effortlessly, and I'm happy that the Knicks are finally worthy of talking about.
No, they are.
The circus that used to be the New York Knicks is gone.
It certainly seems like that. And the Mikal Bridges, and I didn't see you or talk to you after the Christmas Day game when they beat San Antonio. But, you know, we're talking about Brunson and Towns and Hart and maybe OG Anunoby. Well, that was a day where you needed somebody to go head-to-head with Victor Wembanyama, and Mikal Bridges stood tall and played out of his mind on Christmas Day. And when Wembanyama would make one of these 35-foot threes, it was like, Bridges, give me the ball. And he was feeling it right from the start of that game. And it just, to me, goes to
41 that game, right?
Yeah, he went for over 40. And it just showed me the scoring depth that they have. It's not just Jalen Brunson and or Towns. It's on any given night, they've got like five different guys that can just light it up for 30, 40 plus. And I'm not saying they're winning an NBA championship, but I would say this is
it's
about
okay
as
to
good,
say it.
As
okay
good an opportunity
that
as they've had in a long
time. Positive mojo out there.
Well, but They deserve that. Now, it's funny because the season's long, and who knows where we are in April. The 76ers got out to a horrid start. Yeah. All of a sudden, you look up, the way I'm still saying the Knicks are 23-10, you look up, the Sixers still have a way to go, but the Sixers are starting to look more like the 76ers. What's impressed me so far through these first couple of months is how Cleveland hasn't really had that step down yet. Mm. Like, they have played at an elite level every step of the way. Now, can they continue that? I have no idea. But so far, they've been very impressive. Boston's been good. I think the East, when we get there, your top four or five teams, I actually think any of those four or five teams would be capable of winning a championship.
When only one team matters, there's this.
Well, that's for you game. Here, and I understand that. But, I mean, you look at, I mean, and CBS Sports Network has the graphic up. You've got the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks, those three for sure. You can never discount the Bucks. And to me, if the Sixers get in the postseason, which I think they will, you look up, they're 13-17 now. When they started, what were they, 2-10 or something like that? It was crazy.
Well, that was because of the health of Embiid.
That was certainly
which
part
I believe.
Of it.
You know, there's his knee will never be right. Like, he doesn't have a meniscus. That knee, night in, that gets sore. You know, listen, I think then our team is scrappy good. To your point, they're fighting. But the fact that the Knicks are in third right now, 12-2 in the month of December, we have a balanced team. Tibbs seems like I don't think I've ever seen Tibbs smile, but he's at least smirked a couple times on the sideline.
How could you not?
And like, it feels good. It feels good to be a Knicks fan. And I thought this team was going to take a big drop once we lost Hartenstein, because he was just the heart and soul of the team last year, was the ability to hit the boards and play defense. But they've been great. Cat's been good. He's playing defense, scoring. We're doing everything we need to do to win games. It just feels good. I just want to say, I hate to feel this good and feel disappointed when it matters. That's what scares me.
Understood. And that comes back to the conversation about winning the championship and holding the trophy at the end. But I would tell you to enjoy this as best you can, because you never know injury, when it ends, yes. Who knows. But that having been said, they're off to a really nice start now through 33 games. 33 games? Something like that. Yeah, 23-10. And you've got Mitchell Robinson expected to
be great.
Later in the month of January, of course, if not maybe early February. Now, you have now added defensive depth. And that's, if there's one question I've had about them this year, and it's a minor question, but it would be, like we've discussed, I think last week, maybe it was with CeeLo, will they be able, that's the one thing they haven't done this year that they did last year. They have not defended like they did last year. Last year, they were one of the best defensive teams in the league. And I know CeeLo brought up the stats. They're not all that different. But to me, the eye test is they're not playing the same defensively, but we know they're capable of it. Can they turn that switch on and continue to produce offensively like they are, and then clamp down defensively on the other team?
Well, I think a big defensive identity for us is OG, right? His ability to guard the perimeter. And he can guard any big because he has that strength in the post. Overall, I think it's just a collective effort. I think that's one thing when we look at the Knicks last year. And they had such a – when you talk about the product on the floor, they were grit, they were grimy, they hit the boards. You talk about Josh Hart. You talk about everything that he brought to the table. I think the Knicks right now defensively, when you bring in Mitch Robinson, I think you're talking about added balance, mm-hmm. right? Now the pressure isn't on Precious all the time to get down and get scrappy. You're not talking about Big Cat have to fight all the time. And Mitchell just adds a sense of identity to paint they just need, right? Especially if you want to make that long run after the All-Star break.
I completely agree. So they're fun to watch. It's worth your time. Real quick, just a couple of other NBA notes just while we're on the basketball. Did you see by any chance, this one hurts me.
What happened?
And I know he's not wrong. Did you see the comments from Dorian Finney-Smith?
I did not.
Did you see it, Zoo?
I don't want to lie to you.
Oh, I saw him.
Yeah, I figured you did. So he did his little media session with the Lakers, with the LA media. And they asked him about playing in Brooklyn. And he talked about how when you play for Brooklyn, you know you're the little brother or whatever the hell he said. Huh. And
it's not
now,
lying.
I know, but I'm a Nets fan. And I just said to you, it hurts me to hear that, even though I know it's true. For a guy to say that, like, we've always wondered. So, like, D'Angelo Russell was here.
Yes.
He goes out, and he's been in other places. He gets traded back here now. And I've always wondered, like, what are they thinking as they're on the plane heading back here to play for a Nets team that right now is not very good? They are clearly not trying to win because they want to get one of those top few picks, even though they've done a lot of harm in that way because they've won too many games so far. Like, are you just miserable coming here knowing that you're playing? Now, they get fans in terms of that building. Like, they draw.
I've been to a couple of Nets games. I'm always surprised that there are a lot of people in the stands.
100%.
It looks like a fashion show sometimes. I think the Knicks have the star power. The Nets kind of have like this urban, more younger, more vibrant.
The problem I would say for the Nets and the Net fan is I don't know what type of fan is in that building. Meaning, when I go to a Knicks game, here's what I know.
Wall Street's in the building.
I know the lower bowl is going to be filled with Wall Street. I know you're going to have celebrities on the court, but I also know the upper tier is
the real New Yorkers.
Diehard Knicks fans.
Yes, the real New Yorkers.
I don't know. I've only been to Barclays Center 3 times for net games. It's just not an easy place for me to get to, and I watch a lot of the games on TV. But the few times I've been there, I wouldn't say a fashion show, but I do look around, and I feel like there's more just basketball fans that are there, people that are in New York. It's a thing to do. I don't feel like I've got diehards all over the place.
There's no culture. That's what you're asking
for. Which is what they're trying to build. But it takes time, and that leads me back to the conversation of when guys get traded to come play here, what do they think?
I'm not going to be here long. This is a stopgap. I mean, that's the honest to God truth.
And that's a tough way to build a program.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was only interested in the Nets from a casual fan standpoint is when they had KD, Kyrie, and Harden, right?
And even then, they didn't take over the city. Which is remarkable. Now, they had the run, and they were clearly better than the Knicks. There's not even a question about it, and they beat the crap out of the Knicks every time they played the Knicks. But the problem was you needed those guys to be here for 8 or 9 years.
And win.
And do that consistently to start getting the young fan to be a mentor. I will tell you, it's interesting because growing up as a Net fan in really Knick land, you know, everything growing up was Patrick Ewing. It was John Starks. It was even for a few of my older friends. I would say.
You're talking the time like the Knicks had DC and Kenny
So for me,
during that era,
the Kenny Anderson, Derek Coleman time is when we used to go to the Meadowlands all the time. Right, okay. And it was Drazen Petrovic back then. Yeah. But, you know, I grew up with all these Knicks jerseys around me. Even, you know, I was going to say my older friends like Bernard King. I mean, you saw those jerseys everywhere. When my kids started playing basketball during the Durant and Irving time just a few years ago, all you saw around the local gyms were black net jerseys with the Durant 7. And you saw a lot of Kyrie. The Knicks jersey, I'm not going to say it was gone. That's not fair. But I will tell you that the Durant jersey was the premier jersey that you would see. They needed them to be here for a length of time to actually start to build something. It didn't work out. It didn't happen. And now they're starting ground up again.
Yeah, I think some of that star power kind of went out the window when Kyrie kind of went on his political thing. You know, that all happened.
Well, sure. I mean, we've had this conversation. If the pandemic doesn't happen, they might still be here winning.
Right, but I'm saying as far as likability, they lost a lot of that, right? Sure. Like when your stars are hard to light because of sometimes their own views, that pulls the attention out of the building, right? Like
it does, but to me it's like anything. If you win, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The Knicks are not only likable for what they're able to do on the court. These guys have podcasts. They have a social media image, right? Like they're connecting to a younger generation who are in love with streaming and posting things. Like these guys are into that as well. On top of fashion, when Big Cat got here, man, he's a Jersey kid, and I know he has Dominican roots. And like you, Zoo, you can maybe attest to this. Like if you talk to a lot of guys in the Heights, in Washington Heights, that is, which is a huge Dominican population, they look at Cat as like the guy now. Like it's cool to be Cat, right? Like he's wearing the Keith clothing. He's showing a Diplomat sign, which is a rap group. I don't know if you're familiar.
Not a clue.
Okay. Anyway, he's very much entrenched with the hip hop culture and urban culture, right? Like that's huge for a lot of young kids who maybe not be avid basketball fans, but they have a guy who that they can attach themselves to, right? The Nets never had that. At one point, they did with KD.
Yes.
With Kyrie.
Agreed.
But all that kind of went out the window to a lot of other reasons. Pandemic, social views, yada, yada, yada.
But I will tell you, so it's interesting on the podcast thing that you're talking about, you are right. Because as a non-Knick fan, I happen to enjoy watching the Brunson and Josh Hart podcast. That roommates podcast or show on YouTube to me is phenomenal. And you get a great look at the relationship. They bring in their teammates nonstop. They brought in Rick Brunson to kind of clear the air about what went on in the preseason with Dante DiVincenzo.
Which was nothing.
Oh, no, it was nothing. But it was they had that platform.
That they showed
to, and then once they got through that, they started talking about him and his son. It was really cool. It's a different way to see it and absorb it. That said, you know, Durant did that boardroom. Was it boardroom? Is that what it's called? The boardroom podcast
with,
on YouTube.
Kleiman. Yeah.
Which was a really cool look into him, too. So he did connect in that regard, and he's got tons of subscribers on his channel as well. And, you know, Durant is the type that if he's on your team, you love him. And if you're a basketball fan, you love him. But if you're a hardcore fan of another team, you can't stand him.
Sure.
And you think he's soft and he bounces from team to team to team. And yet I would watch him on YouTube and you could tell he doesn't care the jersey. He just wants to play basketball. And whether that's good, bad, indifferent,
you can't have that attitude in this city. Different market.
Agreed. Yeah. I do agree. My point is he did have that outlet the same way the Knicks do it now. And had he remained here and made the Nets his team, and even if Kyrie wants to go, like, we're still going to win, and continued with that platform, I think he could have done the same thing given time.
I also think he didn't want to stomach that. I don't think he wanted that challenge.
Clearly.
Right.
You're right.
I think some guys, like when Brunson got here, and there was so much talk about, like, we're really giving this kid all this money coming from Dallas? Like, we get it. He's tough. You know, he's a Villanova kid. But he embodied New York. Like, he was tough.
Yeah.
He was scoring night in and night out. Like, he was playing defense. He was rallying guys. He was emotional. He was, like, it seemed like he had this David versus Goliath type mentality. And New York was like, yeah, that's what we're about. Like, New Yorkers, you got to understand it. New Yorkers, we're nostalgic by default. We hold on to that blue cup of coffee that we walk to work with, right? Those are the guys we celebrate. And so when you come in with that attitude and that mantra, we're like, all right, he's one of us. He gets it. But if you come into it like, man, I'm just here to ball, everybody's like, well, okay, well, leave. You know, like, that's not what we're into.
It goes to show, too, that when you're, whether it's free agency, making trades, drafting players, like, it's everyone's got talent. At this level, they all have talent. It's kind of what's inside and how much do you care?
100%.
And it's hard to get inside people's heads.
And New Yorkers, we see it right away. Like, we watch. We're always watching how you move, how you talk, you know, the effort you put in, the effort you don't put in.
Yep.
So we're watching it all.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got CeeLo coming up next. We will have the Boomer and Geo moments of the day for the year coming up as well. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 7:25. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. This is usually the time we would hand it over to CeeLo, but he's not here. So coming up after the break, when he does come in, we are going to go over, I'm going to get your take on what I found to be the top moments of the year.
Okay.
Sports moments. And I'll see how many, it was flying in here. Whoosh. And here he comes. I'll see if we agree on what I picked.
I was hoping he didn't come in. I had a story to tell you.
You can tell your story. He's got to get set up.
No, I think it's kind of a long story. I don't want to waste CeeLo's time. It seems like he's already in a panic.
Well, but he's here, though. No, we've got plenty of time.
Yesterday, I took the kids there. It's a little dinosaur museum kind of theme thing. Theme park situation in Edison, New Jersey, right?
You were in Edison?
Edison.
The land of Eddie Scazzeri.
Do you live in Jersey, by the way?
Yeah, I live in Jersey.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so the kids are having a good time. You know, they got like these animatronic dinosaurs where they move around, and there's little like these little booths for the dinosaurs. And there's like bouncy houses where the kids go crazy. So me and my wife split up, right, which is great. She takes the girl, I take the boy.
Oh, I thought you made divorced.
I got nervous. No. Wait, what? I guess that Christmas gift really didn't go over.
We
didn't
want a subtle way to say it.
Split up in front of the T-Rex. We didn't call it quits in Edison, right?
Oh, man.
And so anyway, so my son is in the bouncy house. And I'm, you know, holding the shoes and the jacket, and I'm watching him go crazy. And his dad, who had a kid around my son's age with him, pretty much goes about his business and then comes back to me. He goes, hey, man, I just lost my kid.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, sorry to be you.
Sorry
like,
for your loss.
I didn't know what you were meant to say.
Yeah.
And he was just like, well, you know, my son came in with your son. They were in a bouncy house together. If you see him, you know, just please bring him to me, right? So now, as a dad, I saw the panic on this man's face.
For sure.
And something felt like, I got to save this guy on behalf of all dads. Right? So in the process of doing that, I forgot about my own son in the bouncy house.
Oh, no.
right? Because now the guy's friend, he already had like one little baby on him, and then he's missing this one kid. And he's going crazy around this place. My wife is on the next bouncy house, so she's dealing with my daughter. My son, I could see him, but like I'm starting to lose like traction because I'm now worried about this guy. I don't know who the hell this guy is. Right, I don't know who he is. But because he was so panicked, I was like, this dude's amazing. And he's an older gentleman, so I thought, this dude's going to have a heart attack, and it's going to be all bad. So I got my son at the bouncy house. I'm like, hey, come with me. I'm taking you to your mother, and which was right next door. So I throw him over to his mom, and by the grace of God, I don't know if it's my dad powers kicked in, but I'm combing through the crowd because I knew what the kid looked like. And I somehow my eyes caught him. Like, and he was deep, and really? he was walking aimlessly. And I started hitting, like, you ever seen the movies? They start walking and then they start getting it. I'm hiding through this damn dinosaur museum, right? And because I was wearing like a camouflage, like polo thing, security starts following me.
Really?
As if I'm going to fight or if I see something. So now I got security trailing me and a guy, and so the lady's like, sir, sir, can I help you? Did you lose a child? I'm like, no, but we're looking for a lost child. And she was like, all right. So she starts running. So me, the security lady, she's probably middle-aged lady. She's huffing. I'm huffing.
You're huffing right now in your chair.
And we're roughing at this kid. The kid is running and crying. He's looking for the dad. Mm. And I'm like, and I'm young. I don't know the kid's name. So I don't know why I pulled the old man move, but I was like, son. I was like, son. Stop. And the kid is like, he doesn't know me. Right. I'm this big guy in a camouflage sweatsuit. Mm. He's like, you don't look like safety, right? And so the lady's like, is that the kid? I'm like, yes, please, we got to stop him. So he finally stops and he turns around. It's me, the security guard lady, and then one of the booth workers. We're all yelling at this kid, and now the kid feels attacked, right? Mm. He doesn't have his dad. There's three adults facing him. By the grace of God, the father, I guess because he saw me running, he comes trailing up behind. And I'm like, this is your kid, right? He goes, oh, thank God. Yes, we found him. I went to go pick the kid up, and he just melted, cried in my arms. So I put him back down because I didn't want a stranger danger situation. And so I got him back to the dad, and he's like, man, thank you so much. And then when I get back to the bouncy house, my wife goes, he's like, did you find him? I'm like, yes. He goes, man, this is why I would never leave you with my kids. Because idiot dads do things like that. Jeez. And I was just like,
yeah, idiot moms do it too.
That's what I couldn't say that in that moment.
But right. Then you might have split up for good.
In front of the T-Rex. Yeah. Yes.
By the way, you know what he needed to do.
What's that?
Call News 12.
News 12?
Like, you are a real hero.
I don't know if I'm a hero, but
he couldn't possibly know what you're referring to, Jerry.
I know, but I thought you would.
Oh, I did, but I mean, how do you explain that to him?
Are you aware of when Al saved two guys from fighting with dogs and he called Deuce 12 on himself to alert them?
No. His heroism. He sat in his apartment. He called 911 from his apartment.
Al called 911 because he was looking out of his apartment and he saw two gentlemen walking dogs and the dogs were getting into it. And he called 911 because it was very aggressive. And they were able to get a cop to go over and break it up. And so Al called News 12.
Was this like a meetup? Or they just happily walking the same block?
The News walking 12 their dogs. Piece. Yeah, they came
is
and they covered
real?
It.
I'm not joking when I say this.
Here's the scene from his, you know, his balcony there. He was in Mattawan at the time, right?
Oh, he was, yes. Yeah. And they went over and they made sure that there was no further incident. Yeah. And Al considers himself a hero.
Willie, I don't know if these
guys
know.
You found a lost child.
So did Al bring up a dog fighting ring?
He never left his apartment. He just placed a phone call.
And who's this guy?
That's one of the things. I have him on the way.
There you go, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was play that one more time so you can hear the real manly.
All right, I have him on the way.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
They got the two dogs.
So hold on, Fliegelman's got the full 40-second call.
Oh, okay,
play it just so Willie can hear this. This is the 911 call that Al made.
911, what's your emergency?
Oh, hi there. It's Al Dukes.
Oh, this you're playing.
911. Where is the emergency?
It's in Mattawan, New Jersey. YMCA.
Okay, what's the address?
I don't know. Behind that, there's a YMCA. There's a baseball field right behind it.
Okay.
It's on the baseball field.
Okay.
A man was walking his dog, and another dog attacked his dog, and he's now fighting the dog, like punching them, kicking them. The dogs are attacking him like it's a crazy scene out there, and the man is screaming by himself.
What's your name?
My name is Al Duke, D-U-K-E-S.
Can I call him for you? All right, there's a dog attacking a man.
There's two dogs attacking each other, and the man is trying to break them up. He's punching and kicking the dog, and one dog is attacking him, and he is screaming like he's been bit. He's holding his arm, and he's screaming, and he's going over there and still trying to break the dogs up, but it's two very dangerous dogs, so...
And you're watching this happen?
I am, because I heard him screaming. I'm looking right at my window faces.
That's good, field. Mike. And you're watching
I'm
this
not helping.
That's the most insane call I've ever heard in my life.
And this is before he had whimsy.
And there's another minute
correct?
And a half.
Yeah, was this before whimsy?
Yes, this is before
whimsy. The fact
whimsy.
That he ended up getting a dog after witnessing that is incredible. I've never seen the News 12 footage.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
real.
Dude in the black jacket, I assume that was the man.
Yes.
That guy, you want to talk about someone that wanted no part of being in that News 12 piece?
Yeah.
They must have, bribed him to be in that. He looked like he was being held hostage
very
in that video.
Funny. Yeah, it looks like he has illegal animals in his apartment, the way he was dressed.
He was like, yeah, okay, thanks. Let me get the hell out of here. As he turns and waves and walks off the camera.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
The best part of it, though, is, and you're watching this happen? Yeah. Yes, I am.
That's about as emasculating as it
Al
gets.
I love called the cops on the dogs. Like, yeah. It was like three grown men out there just fighting.
No, he would have called.
He still.
Oh, yeah, no. Al is a frequent 911 caller.
Neighborhood watch.
Is he a creeper?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't call him a creeper. I think he's...
Creeper is somebody who, through the blinds, they're always watching.
He likes to watch.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, but the blinds are open.
He's confident all teenagers are up to no good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's got the binoculars going.
He's got a lot of time on his hands when he gets home from the show.
That call, though, and the fact that News 12 did a piece on him and called him the neighborhood hero.
There's nothing going on in
And you saved a child, a lost child.
Yeah.
Where's CBS? Let's go. Willie Colon. Oh, very funny.
You were like a pulling guard out in front leading the way on a screen.
Yeah, with Sanders security with the ball in her hand.
Yeah.
Score 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
Very funny. All right, CeeLo, let's take it back to nonsensical sports.
Yes. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So I guess Lions radio man Dan Miller is just spoiled at this point. He's seen so many touchdowns and so much Ben Johnson creativity. It barely even excites him anymore.
Goff's going to go empty out of the gun. Jared looking over that defense, leans in. There's the snap. Niners rush forward. Goff, quick throw, got it complete. Ooh. And it's a lateral back this time down the right sideline. And it's Jameson Williams who's going to walk into the end zone for the touchdown.
Right. I mean, it's a pretty cool
play like that. You would have thought because he's so electric when he does the games. I agree with you. You
maybe it caught him by surprise and he just wasn't able to kick it in gear there in that spot, but that was a pretty cool play. Designed
was
lateral. What's that?
Did that happen?
I think second quarter.
Second quarter?
Yeah, definitely first half.
I wonder if he was, you say he might have been surprised by it. I wonder if he was alerted to a play like
maybe.
That.
Yeah, maybe.
Just because when I used to do games, Norris Wilson used to be the Columbia coach back in the day, and there was one specific game he pulled me aside before. He's like, hey, just so you're ready, we have this play put in. We might use it today. And it was like a double reverse that they were working on.
He gave you the nod for it.
He did, just so I would have an idea of what the hell I was seeing.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
If he didn't, oof, that would have been a mess.
What
that was magical.
Exactly.
Like John Sterling calling that weird triple play years ago on Yankees radio.
I do remember.
Didn't even know who had the ball. There was a lot happening.
That was a rough call.
Yeah, well, happens to the best of them.
Does.
Anyway, one of five touchdowns the Lions scored last night in Santa Clara. They went on to beat the 49ers 40-34. Dan Campbell, once he saw the Vikings win Sunday, had the option to rest some of his guys ahead of the Week 18 regular season finale against Minnesota, which will determine the NFC North title, and the one seed ultimately opted against doing that.
Yeah, it was on my mind. I thought a lot about it. I thought about it leading up to the game. I thought about it last night. I told the staff. I ended up settling on the right thing to do was play these guys, and because we owed it to the team.
All right, so you hear the hoarseness in his voice as usual, but that wasn't just post-game, as he was already that way coming out of halftime when he spoke to ESPN's Lisa Salter.
And then I told the team, the things that don't require talent, we've got to be at our best there, man. That's what we talked about. We got to be at our best. And look, San Fran, we know what they are, man. It's a good team. They've had some injuries, but we knew this wasn't going to be easy.
Man, that voice.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Good luck second half.
Thank you.
Lisa, Dan, thank you.
Somebody get that man some tea.
Yeah.
Get him some tea.
He's going to go live in a van down by the river.
Nice Chris Farley reference there from Joe Buck, who he really is the best. And you heard a chuckling Troy Aikman. He was getting a kick out of Campbell and even managed to take a little jab at him along the way here.
I thought it was interesting. He says, we got to come away with points when we get in the red zone. Well, you would have if you settled for a field goal.
Good point.
We know he likes to go for it on fourth down. Now, they do have a good kicker in Jake Bates, even though we did miss an extra point last night. Looked like maybe he was dealing with some sort of injury, evidenced by some awkward footage that ESPN showed, which went viral. I know you didn't see all of the game, and you saw any of this on social media. I think CBS Sports Network will have it in a minute. So ESPN did cut to him on the sideline doing an interesting stretching routine, and they did go back to Lisa Salters, who attempted to explain.
He hasn't gotten any treatment from the medical staff, but he was on his left hip. He had a softball. You've probably done that at home when you've had like a knot in your body somewhere. That's what it looked like he was doing.
Okay,
I asked him how he was doing. He said he was fine.
That explains the video we just showed. He's laying on something.
Yeah, so
he looks like he's having sex with the turf.
Correct. And that one of the best comments
he
I saw.
He definitely had his O face on.
Yeah, my God. The facial expression was a little awkward, and someone wrote that.
I just loved how nobody was standing around him.
Right.
Like, it seemed like he went off in a corner to get that off.
So there were three things that jumped out. One person who wrote, the turf's going to get pregnant. That was number one. You had the reference to Kate Winslet and Titanic laying out. And then George Costanza posing on the couch.
Oh, on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a good one, too.
Yeah, so that was an interesting moment there
that
last night.
That is funny.
On Monday Night Football. Very good. Brian Daboll.
Whatever he was thinking of.
Yeah, he did come on after that and kick a field goal no problem. So I guess the laying on the softball and working out the kink seemed to work out okay for him. Here's Brian Daboll, not here to talk about the 2025 draft or where the Giants might end up selecting in round number one.
Yeah, our focus is on the opponent we're playing and ourselves each week. As a coaching staff and players, we do, again, try to do everything we can do to go out there and play as coach as good as we can.
And the same will go for week 18 against the Eagles, whether Saquon Barkley suits up or not.
Did Sirianni address it? I didn't see
him. It's funny because Daboll said you got to ask Nick.
Oh.
I don't know if he spoke yesterday. I haven't had a chance to check on that yet. If he did, I didn't see any headlines or anything about it. But it's possible. One more from Jeff Ulbrich shooting down the notion that his team has checked out, as suggested by Sauce Gardner following Sunday's blowout loss to the Bills.
Did we lack execution? Absolutely. You know, and did we miss opportunities and we not play to the standard of this organization? Absolutely, we did not do that, you know. But as far as the effort, strain, finish, I still felt it was there.
Yeah, he's going to be elsewhere next year, as we know.
Yes.
Head coaching wise, you'll have reported interviews for both Rex Ryan and Ron Rivera on the way in short order. At least that's according
to
multiple reports out there. And Rex himself speaking yesterday on local radio. Knicks and Wizards encore performance down in D.C. last night following Saturday's overtime affair between the two teams. It was another close one into the second half before the Knicks eventually took over. The
Knicks lead cut to one. They've led by as many as nine here in this period. Josh Hart, three-pointer. Got it. Josh Hart, his fourth three-pointer. He's got 21 points.
Mike Green on MSG. Hart on his way to a triple-double, his third of the season. 23 points to go along with 15 rebounds and 10 assists. Karl Anthony Towns had 32 and 13 boards. The Knicks pulled away for a 126-106 victory, their eighth in a row. Hart joined Bill Pito on the court on MSG right after the game. First off, how about pulling away in half number two?
We got stops. We played fast. We played to our strengths. You know, sometimes it takes us a little while to wake up, but, you know, we always do.
Now, we heard part of this next answer last hour about this being a glorified home game with a lot of Knicks fans down there. But in the same breath, as he was giving that answer, both Rick and Jalen Brunson walked by. And as has become the custom on these on-court interviews in MSG, a little bit of a hijink. So they both purposely run into him as he's doing the interview with Pete.
Home game 42 and 43. So...
Foul on Rick Brunson, by the way.
Yeah, foul. So
look out, here comes Jalen.
No, I will. Oh, you're lucky I turned to the Lord.
Hey, I warned you.
You did. I appreciate it.
So they're having a good time.
They
Knicks have won 8 in a row, 23-10. All good for them. They'll be back home to host Utah coming up tomorrow night. Cavaliers won again, 113-95 over the Warriors. They improve to 28-4.
Think about the difference of those two teams you just mentioned. The Cavaliers are 28-4, and the Wizards are 5-25.
Oh, quite a disparity.
Oh, my God. What do you think when they play the line would be? 15, 16, 20?
Yeah, I was
going to
say 16.5, something
like
that.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Man.
Not what you want. Quickly, before I go, just because you brought it up, Dorian Finney-Smith of Lakers media after the trade from the Nets. I mean, this is not surprising.
It's not surprising. No offense, it sucks to hear it, but it's not surprising.
Emphasizes the point and the gap between the Nets and the Knicks here in New York.
Well, I'm happy I'm here. You know, I'm not. I don't want to say that but if you play for Brooklyn, you know what I mean. You want to be the little brother in the city. So I'm finally, with the big brothers. So that feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clippers and the Nets are very similar in that regard. Sure. I mean, and you can do and win as much as you want, but you need to win for a long time to change things. They had an opportunity. They did win for a long time in the early 2000s with Kidd and Carter and Jefferson.
That was fun.
Kenyon Martin. Yeah. Lucius Harris. All those guys. It was a great run. And they went to the finals a couple years in a row, but obviously we know what happened then. And then they had a chance here, and the guys didn't want to stay. So start over yet again. Start over.
That's where they're at. Rutgers again. Over Columbia, 91-64, as the Scarlet Knights improved to 7-0 at home. Rangers lost to the Panthers down in Sunrise, 5-3. That's another winless road trip. 4 points were available for them in Florida the last couple of games. They don't get it done. They've dropped 15 of 19. They're back home to face the Bruins later on this week. And the college football playoff quarterfinals get underway tonight. You got the Fiesta Bowl from Glendale, Arizona, as Fleas' Penn State Nittany Lions will face Boise State.
By the way, why did you go to that? Why didn't you go to Glendale? That would have been phenomenal.
The flight options, it would have been cutting it really close to leave here and get there in time for the game.
Oh, Fleas is a Penn State guy.
Leave yesterday.
Well, I was already on the schedule for today.
Right, because no one else would want to work. Like, you're a Penn State guy. You should be at that game.
No one wants to want to work. You covered that on the post-game podcast.
We would have been fine.
All right.
You could have gone to that game. It's Arizona. Are you out of your mind?
It was not able to. We didn't make it undoable, but if they're in the Orange Bowl a week and a half from now, I will be trying to get out of working one shift and going to that Thursday night.
Fair enough. Sounds good. Still disappointed in you, but I understand. good to go?
Yeah. We'll have other things next hour.
Sounds good. We'll see you next hour, Chris. Coming up on the other side, a little trip down memory lane of 2024. We'll get Willie's take on these specific games and things. Not even games. There are certain things that happen this year, too.
Things?
So we will get, some topics that we will get to from 2024 as we are about to wave goodbye and say hello to 2025. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Welcome back, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Bill Fortuff Studio, Fan and CBS Sports Network. I'm going to get to these moments in a moment, but I feel pretty good. Like, I have alerted guys to a very cool, give them a little pop, the Turo app to rent cars from people. Yes, I'm stunned that neither Fliegelman nor you were even aware of this app.
I was not aware of it. I've had, it, like most people, nightmares with dealing with rental car services, especially when you have kids. For me, I like to drive in comfort.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I never heard of Turo.
Yeah, Turo, T-U-R-O. It's a great app, and I'm not saying every car you rent is going to be awesome, but I'm going to only do it once. I mean,
you've talked it up to the point where I'm emotionally invested in this. I'm looking to get a Corvette
with the dice. I have not been a frequent user, but it is neat that you can get a car anywhere, anytime, and you can get anything from a Toyota, a nice little Toyota Corolla, all the way up to, like, luxury via a Toyota Highlander, if you
and
want.
Now, you said you told me the process. A guy shows up with keys. He gives you the keys. You come back.
It depends on the arrangement and where you're picking up the car. Everyone's different. Some you go right to the house. Some you might meet in a parking lot. Some, it depends on where you're going to be. But, yeah, and the cars have reviews.
I don't know if I'm down to go to somebody's house. That seems a little
strange.
Public seems like a drug deal, but the house seems like a kidnapping.
I didn't say every situation is great, but if you're having trouble renting a car, it's a great app. It's like the Airbnb for cars. It's a very cool concept.
Can you imagine Jerry grabbing the keys off a Ford Focus and a guy shows up with like a raincoat?
First of all,
like,
it'll be a Ford Mustang.
He's like, hey, you want the keys? Be back in 2 hours. I'm like, what?
2 hours?
Well,
I went the car for a couple days.
Something like that.
And I want a Mustang.
What did you rent from this guy?
Yeah. This was in Florida. It was a Nissan Maxima, I think. So
really living large.
Well, it was on vacation.
Did you blacklight the seats?
What's that?
Did you blacklight the seats?
No.
You trusted the guy.
It was the app is great.
You trust.
What do you think he was going to plant the bomb under the hood?
This seems like I would comb through the car.
Stop it.
I would love to see Al use an app like this where you're just renting something from another person.
I think he would. I mean, he's done Airbnb before. Like, why is it any different? Airbnb, you're living in someone's house for a week. Right? Mm-hmm. And in some cases,
I would not have expected him to do that.
No, he's done that. He is definitely, I'm pretty sure he's done that. A lot of people do that. All right, so end of 2024 at midnight. I will not be up to see it since we are doing a show tomorrow, oh, by the way. Though not on TV, radio only tomorrow. So I came up with the list, in my opinion, of the biggest sports stories. Most of them are New York, but some are not New York.
Okay.
From 2024. And you tell me what you remember about it and if you think it qualifies to be on this list. And it's not a big list. I only got like 8 or 9 of them here, okay?
Okay.
I got number one, and I start with football because it was an overtime Super Bowl on CBS. And it was, of course, the Chiefs beating the 49ers. And, I mean, it's an overtime Super Bowl, for God's sakes. We haven't seen that very often. Deserved to be on the list. And where were you when that game? Did you watch that game or where were you party? What's the cologne situation for the Super Bowl?
Does it deserve to be on the list? I'm
50. Really?
Yeah.
Chiefs beating the Niners in overtime in a Vegas Super Bowl? No. Really?
I don't know. I didn't walk away from it like, oh my God, I can't believe the game went to overtime. Like, there's Patrick two Mahomes. Really, really good teams who went the distance. So I wasn't surprised by that. Where was I? I was in my house. I had a hell of a spread. Had about 40 people over. And when we do our Super Bowl.
You poo-pooed it.
I definitely did.
Damn. All right, forget it. That's off the list. All right. Do you guys agree off the list?
I would put it as an overtime. Even though it's not the first overtime
Super Bowl,
Super Bowl, it was a pretty great game.
Yeah, it was a great game, but it wasn't like we were surprised that the outcome. Yeah,
Willie's right about that part. Yeah, I expected it to be a good game.
It's like when two prize fighters go to distance and some people call me
negative Nelly. Okay,
the ending also, I think when it happened, I feel like it was anticlimactic, if I remember correctly.
It wasn't. It was a
fine. It's off the list. You've made your point.
I made it, Jerry. You can't get upset when people have opinions. You're asking. Yes.
You have this Met one, I think, lined up for me. Now, I could go with a couple of others, but I will tell you, watching this game, and then I had to get in the car for this specific moment, listening to this play in Atlanta, doubleheader day, last game of the season. Mets need to get into the postseason and the playoffs. One of the biggest swings in Mets history.
Johnson ready. His first pitch to Lindor. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. End of the Braves bullpen in right center field. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. Whether he wins one or not, he has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7.
And that was that game was crazy. 6 different ways. Huge win for the Mets. Hi, I'm Howie Rose on Mets Radio. That's on the list, and I'm not even listening to you guys if you say it's not.
You can't have
take
a list.
That and shove
ask
it.
People for opinions. I'm not take, no, no, and don't want to have feedback.
So these
I don't
three,
understand this.
I will tell you, actually, the next four, you don't get an opinion. They're on the list.
I feel like you should have vetted the list to me before you came up with the list.
I got to be honest. I'm the one here at 4 a.m. I made the list.
I could have texted you.
You could have. That's you probably still sleeping at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Schematics.
You could make a top 10 list of all baseball moments from this year.
But that's not what I wanted to do.
I mean, that was significant. I mean, the Mets started horrible in April last year. They're talking about selling in July.
Oh, 100%.
And for them to rally with that type of...
But that game was what... That game in and of itself was one of the most... It had so many ebbs and flows... And, oh, my God, they blew it. Oh, my God, they blew it. You got to be kidding me. Edwin Diaz, good Lord. And it was a hell of a game. And it put them into the postseason. And Met fans everywhere were just, you know, going bonkers. I got 2 more Met ones because you have to keep it on this.
Are you asking for our opinions or we're just going to listen? Okay.
Are we
strapped in?
No, no, because if these don't belong on the list, your opinion's stupid. All right, the next one. Take me to Milwaukee Zoo. Pete Alonso had a really difficult season, as we know. But boy, oh boy, he had a pretty big at-bat against the Brewers.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a 3-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him.
I mean, he gives you chills. Again, Howie on Mets Radio. Any thoughts, Willie? And that was pretty good.
Definitely don't have chills.
Well, you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Your moment's coming in a second. And then the last one, obviously it ended with the losing to the Dodgers. But before that, You remember the big another big at-bat from Francisco Lindor in the NLDS against the Phillies.
2-1 to Lindor. Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night, and Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
And no disrespect to anybody else, but the fact that Howie's on all those calls is just phenomenal. So there you go.
You don't have to say anything.
I won't. I know you're not. But I will let...
I appreciate the
have
moment.
At it with this one. So far, all kidding aside, you guys poo-pooed the, not Mike, but you guys poo-pooed the Super Bowl. And those three baseball ones, pretty good. Now,
I'm not mad at the baseball one. The football one, I think we're all in agreement. We're just not surprised the way it ended.
In overtime. Pretty good. But that's off the list. I already crossed it off the list. Now, this one is going to be on your list.
I'm just upset that you feel like our take isn't good.
Well, it's fine. It's your take.
Okay.
Now, this, I know, while he's not going to be with you any longer, I understand that. This was pretty cool in the moment in Cleveland for your Yankees. Mm.
And the 1-2. Swung on, a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! A 3-run home run. The Yankee bench comes on the field. Wow, what a Soto photo. A long, high, high fly to deep right center and out. He's wonderful. Marvelous.
That's good. So that's
a
John.
3-run blast.
Soto baby. That's good. That to me was a great Yankee
I do
moment.
Remember watching that, and I do remember my wife going, that's my mother effing Soto.
Well, he's not anymore.
Right. I remember my wife,
fan.
Who I turned into a Yankee fan when she arrived here in New York, and she loved Soto. She just loved
I get it.
The moxie, the flair, the Understood. Cockiness, the stare down on the pitchers. And then that shot, she jumped up. It was like, that's my mother.
It really was, man. Why that moment was pretty
huge.
Pretty incredible. Another one on the list, but no one wants to hear about it in New York. But all kidding aside, the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam, Game 1 of the World Series for the Dodgers was a hell of a moment. That's got to be on the list. I put down just simply the name from last year, Caitlin Clark. I mean, just Caitlin Clark hysteria all over the...
Yes.
I mean, you can't tell the story of 2024 sports without her. You just 100%, can't.
100%. As much as, you know, that woman's dream team and everything they meant for women's basketball, what Caitlin Clark...